Well, good morning. I'm on. Am I working fine? You can hear me? Okay. I'm a little anxious this morning because when I got here, my PowerPoints didn't function the way that I wanted them to. And so I had to make some changes at the last minute. So if I seem a little anxious, just pray that God takes that nervousness away from me. Today we're going to look at core values. And some of you may be thinking, what is a core value? Why do we have core values? Why did we take the time to develop them? Are they necessary? Is it important to review them on a regular basis? And so let me give you a little background on why or how we went about developing these. Several years ago when we basically restarted or reevaluated this church and started to function a little differently, we decided that we needed something to help us as elders focus on the direction of the church. And we had been looking previously at some church planting material because at one point in time we were going to sell this building, we were going to move up into the Bel Air area and start a new church up in that area. And so in this church planting material, it talked about setting your mission, developing some core values, and then developing some vision statements. And as we were going through that material, it probably took us a year to do that because we wanted to really use them to get us focused in on where we wanted to go. I don't know about you, but I have worked for 35 years with agencies that love to create a strategic plan, mission statements for the office, for the division, for the overall organization. And so you spend all this energy developing those. You produce this nice little document that everyone says, yes, this is what we believe, this is what we're going to do. And then it goes up on a shelf. And then 5 years later, or when a new administration comes in, they go, we need a new strategic plan. And so you start the whole process over and over and over again. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to create a document or that we could use on a regular basis and that we would review it and we would use it as a lens to kind of look at which ministries are we going to develop and how are we going to develop those? And so these core values that we're going to review today don't have the weight of Scripture, but we do believe they are based in Scripture and they give us a solid foundation for developing, looking at our ministries currently and looking at ministries that we want to develop. And so our mission statement, we can go to the next slide, is very simple. Develop people who follow Christ and show Him to the world. This is a simplistic statement of the Great Commission. But it's something that we can keep in our mind that helps remind us of what our overall purpose is or the overall purpose of the church. It's to develop people who follow after Christ, that grow up in Christ, and then show Him to the world. And so that's a basic mission statement. Our core values are listed on your insert, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of those now. We'll look at those later. But let me just simplify those two for you. Everyone matters. If everyone matters to God, then as believers, everyone should matter to us. And the things that we do need to demonstrate that. Everyone belongs. If we belong to Christ, we belong to the church, not only locally, but also globally. And as a result of that, we belong in the family of God. And we're going to look at some of those, how that happens in a few minutes. We believe that once that you become a believer, that just like your natural body grows, you need to grow spiritually. and that the church is the place where that happens. Everyone serves. We believe that as you grow and as you mature in Christ, then one of the natural outcomes is you will demonstrate service to other people just as God demonstrated His love for us and served us. And so those are our core values. A vision statement is something that we develop that helps us see where we would like to be 5 years or 10 years down the road. So this is a sample of one of the vision statements that we came up with early on. That we wanted to see a church where people, when they came into our building, that they felt welcomed and that they were greeted by people who expressed love to them, who actually were excited that they were here, and that we expressed some concern. It's not just, "Hi, glad you're here. Come and have a seat." It's more like, "Hi, glad you're here. What's going on in your life? How are you doing? What brought you to Wichita Bible Church today?" To get below the surface some and get to know people. It's not just, I think of some of the churches that I visited where it's like, "Glad you're here today. Have a seat. We will get started in 15 minutes. We don't want that. We want excitement and we want people, encouraging people that come to visit us. So earlier I mentioned that these are the core values which we're going to look at today were a lens in which we looked at how we develop ministries. So let's just real briefly look at one. Missions. How do we do missions here? Well, everyone matters. If everyone matters, don't go there. Back up. we're not going to go to these slides yet. So it's probably my mistake because I only made one set of slides, not two sets of slides. So we're just going to look at these, and we're going to funnel the missions committee through this. So in missions, one of the first things that we do, it's a natural it's natural for us to be involved with missions because if people matter to God, they should matter to us, and we need to find a way to reach the lost. And so missions is a missions committee, a missions group, a way to look at missions so that we are looking at ways to reach not only people locally, but local people globally is essential for us. When we're looking at people that come that may want to be missionaries that want us to work with them, the first thing we need to know is, do they belong to the church? Are they saved? Then we want to know, not only are they saved, but are they growing and maturing? We don't want to send a person that got saved last week, we don't want to send them out into the mission field. We would want to look at them, talk with them, find out when they got saved, how is God maturing, and how are they growing and developing. When it comes to service, we may look at them and say, where do you plan on serve? Is this an area of your giftedness? Is this something that you've demonstrated in the past that you've served in this area before? If they're going out as an evangelist, we would want to have seen some evangelistic work in their previous history. And so we would look and see all of these things, how missions fit with that. Now, let me just say this. This is a very simplistic view of how this can be used, but it's just one of the ways that we look at things when people come to us with new ministries. If you think of a ministry that you would like to develop at Wichita Bible Church, then what we would do is encourage you to look at these core values and see how it fit with those core values. And then bring it to the elders, and then we will run it through, and we will look at it, and we will see how it fits in. Now, we have small groups at our church. We have 1A groups. They are not necessarily evangelistic in nature, so we may not funnel them through Everyone Matters. we may funnel them through everyone belongs, grows, and serves, because that's the core of what 1A groups are designed to do. And so when we come back from the break, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the reasons for each of these core values, how they're based in biblical principles, and then we're just going to go through those. So let's take a quick break. There's some desserts back there, and there's some coffee and juices. So let's pray, and then we'll take a quick break. Father, as we look at these core values this morning, I just pray, Father, that we would take them to heart, that we would look at our own lives and we could see how we could apply them as we develop and mature and grow and serve others here in our body. Just thank you for all you give us and all that you've done for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to start looking at our core values, and we're going to look at them one by one. So the first one is everyone matters. And on your sheet, on one side, we have these all written out. I'm going to basically read what it says there, and then I'll go into some passages that explain why we settled on this as one of our core values. God is the creator, cares for everyone. He providing for forgiveness and a restored relationship, making salvation available to all who trust in him. We share in and demonstrate that same love to everyone, regardless of their appearance, lifestyle, or past. And I think for me, the core issue here is if we go to a familiar passage in John 3:16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." If you look at this, it says a couple of things. God gave his Son to the world, and it was to all of the world, not just part of it. It also says that God loved the world, not just part of it, but all of it. It also says that all who believe can be saved. The only thing that limits everyone from being saved is their choosing to follow after God or not, to accept his mercy or not. And so in this very simple passage that we all have read many, many times, it demonstrates that God loved the entire world. If we go to the second one, in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of God came to seek and to save the lost." Once again, it's saying that Christ came to save everyone. And the reason I say that is, who in this room was not lost? Did anybody come into this world saved? And the answer is no. And so Christ came to save and seek the lost. This also points out one other thing about what Christ did. He was intentional in what he came to do. Seeking is not something that you just casually do. It is something that you have to put effort into, and there has to be a purpose for it typically. Christ's purpose was that he could save us. Intention and purpose in this statement here. In Romans 5, we read this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for the ungodly. That takes a choice. I mean, that's a choice. He could have came and said, well, you know, you're righteous enough, I'll die for you. But he didn't. He came and he died for everyone. And it's in the first verse, it really points out that we were still his enemies. We were still in sin. We were still opposed to him. But yet he came at that time to save us. I think in our relationships with people, a lot of times is we think, well, once I'm good enough, then he'll accept me. Or once I'm good enough, then Howard will like me, or something like that. But in reality, with God, it's like even while we were his enemies and we were rebelling against him, he reached out and saved us. And so everyone matters to God. In John 16, as I was looking through, I saw this and I thought, wow, this is interesting that this shows like the third person of the Godhead involved in this process of reaching out to the world. And it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is actively involved, still convicting people of their sin. It didn't end when Christ died on the cross. It continues today that God is still reaching out, convicting people of sin, because they matter to him. The second core value is everyone belongs. And as a believer in Christ, everyone becomes part of God's family, a part of the church around the world, and needs to be involved with a local gathering of believers, a local church. Everyone grows best when involved in deeper relationships with other believers in a local church. You know, as I read and I say, well, it says everyone belongs. What does it mean to belong to something? How do you belong to an organization or a group? And then what do you do when you belong to that group? And then why do people even have this desire to belong? And I think it goes back to Genesis 2. If you go there real quick, it says, the Lord said, it is not good for that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to him. At creation, God saw that it was important that man not be alone. And Adam was pretty excited when he got Eve. And then the next thing was that you had families, and then you had communities, and you had nations, and you had lots of different things develop because man was no longer alone. And to this day, man has never been alone again. There has never been just one single person. Even when God destroyed the earth, he kept the family unit, a group of people, never alone again. In Romans 7:4, it says this, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that way we may bear fruit for God. Here we see the truth of this, that we were saved from something. Our old man died, and we we belong now to Christ. We no longer are ruled by the law of sin and death. We are in Christ's family. And now we have the ability to belong to Him and dwell with Him. And so we were something before, now we are something new. We are in Christ. In Romans 8, 9, it says this, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." So you take that last phrase, so the inverse of that must be true. So anyone who does have the Spirit of Christ belongs to Him. So if we are believers and we have the Spirit of God indwelling in us, we belong to Christ. There are two groups that you can belong to. You can belong to the flesh, or you can belong to the group, the Spirit, that has the Spirit. There's only two groups, flesh or spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, we read this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of one Spirit. As believers, we are all placed into one body by the Spirit." So we all belong to the same body. We don't. Our church, Bible-believing church, Hutchinson, Bible-believing church, Uganda, Bible-believing church, trust in Christ for our salvation, we all belong together. We're not the only ones. There's lots of other people out there for us. And I think the interesting thing is that once we are placed in the body, we have a responsibility to contribute to the body. One thing a body part does is grow, which takes us to core value number 3. Everyone grows. On your paper, it reads like this. God's desire for everyone after they put their faith in Christ is that they continually grow to become more like Christ. Thus, it is the privilege and responsibility of each follower of Christ to pursue Christ-likeness in their personal life, assist other believers to grow, train new believers in their relationship with God. It's a natural thing to grow physically. And mentally, it makes sense that we should also grow spiritually. And I like to ask myself lots of questions. And I'm going to ask some questions when I'm reading these things, and I'm not really going to answer them. These are questions that I ask myself that kind of get my mind going. And so, why is it important to grow and mature in the faith? What happens when you don't get the right type of nourishment? What happens to a person if they don't eat the right types of food? If you look at the world, proper training is necessary if you wish to grow in any endeavor that you choose. If you want to be the best tennis player in the world, you better take a bunch of lessons. And you better take lessons from people who know what they're doing. If you want to be the best musician in the world, you have to grow in your knowledge of music, your ability to play. If you're an actor, you have to train yourself to become the best actor in the world. There is nothing that we endeavor in where we don't have to get training. None of us just were born with the ability to speak or with the ability to read. We all had to be trained. If you stop training, at some point in time, you lose ground and you don't become as good as the next person. I have a friend that I taught how to play tennis, and I have not beat him now in 12 years because I trained him too well. And not only did I train him, but some other people trained him. And he learned more, and he grew, and he developed more than I did because I just wanted to play tennis because it was fun and I enjoyed it. He wanted to play tennis because he wanted to be the best. And so depending on your goal, how much training are you going to get? And I believe that same is true of us spiritually. If you want to get saved and sit in the pew the rest of your life, to me that is very, very sad. If you get saved and you want to grow and you want to mature in Christ, that is what he desires for you to do. He doesn't, you know, in fact, when I got saved when I was 9 years old, made a profession of faith, that's what I got saved for. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. And I didn't know anything else about once you are saved, there's a responsibility that you have to grow and mature in your relationship with God. No one ever told me that. Or if they told me, I never listened. And so what we want here in our church is as people get saved, we want to see them to grow and mature and become that person that God desires them to be. So let's look at Ephesians 4. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. A couple of things here. As we speak the truth in love, or as we do those things that we know we need to be doing as Christians, we grow. And we grow up in him. And that's what we need to be doing. As we grow individually, and as we grow closer to other people, the body grows. Because we are connected. We just don't grow on our own. We grow interconnected with one another. This verse is talking about growing closer to one another and growing closer to Christ at the same time. That's what we need to be doing. In Ephesians 2, it says this, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place by the Spirit, the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Here it speaks of growing into a holy temple, a dwelling place for God. As we grow and get closer to one another, something, I'm not going to use the word magical, happens, but something happens that is extraordinary. We become a place where God dwells in us with the Spirit. We are connected. We have ability to worship. It's different than when God dwelt in the temple or in the desert, in the tabernacle. Here, the Spirit of God indwells us, and somehow, not only by this verse, but in the verse in First Peter, we become living stones in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. We become something that has never been around before. We become this spiritual house, interconnected, intertwined with one another, with the ability to worship and praise God in the right way. God does an amazing work in us as we grow in him. I don't even think that we will understand the fullness of this until we get to heaven and we see how that all fits together. God is doing an amazing work in us as we come to Christ. as we grow in Him and as we develop in Him. The last core value is that everyone serves. God gives each believer special abilities by the Holy Spirit as a means to serve and build up the whole body, regardless whether their special abilities are behind the scenes or more visible, whether they are used within the church or for the benefit of those outside the church. They exercise proper functioning, growth, and fullness of the body. As we serve, I ask myself these questions. Why is it important to serve? What is the benefit to serving? And then how do we serve? In Galatians 5, it says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Serving is never about yourself. It is always about the other person. It is about building up somebody. Whether we serve inside the church or outside the church, it's to demonstrate God's love in the same way that He demonstrated His love to us. Christ came and served us to death on the cross. And we are to serve in the same manner. So as you serve, if you serve for your own glory, you're not really serving. You're doing something for yourself. So you need to serve for the benefit of others. In 1 Peter 4, it says, "As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." A couple of things here. Each of us has a gift. Each of us has some ability. We're to use it to serve each other in the body. As you serve, you are being a good steward of that gift that God has given you. As you allow God to work through you, because He's the one that gives us the strength to serve, then everything is done for God's glory. And so, serving is essential as a Christian, I think. I want to go back to John 13, and I want to talk about a time when Christ served the disciples. Now, previous in this passage, Christ has washed the feet of the disciples. And during this process, Peter gets up and says, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And Christ says, "But I have to." And Peter says, "Well, then wash my whole body." And Christ says, "You don't need your whole body washed." And so here, after He has washed all of their feet, this is what Christ says about serving. "When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. In the family of God, everyone serves each other. There are positions of leadership within the church, but all serve with humility and love. If Christ came and washed the feet of His disciples, we should be willing to do whatever we need to do to serve one another. If we're in leadership, we serve everybody. If we are not in leadership, we serve everybody. It's what we are designed to do. We should do the same as the Lord Jesus did. Serve everybody. I'm going to end this morning with a video that I think demonstrates our core values. And so this video lasts about 2 minutes. Father, give us the ability to reach out to those around us. Give us the desire to grow and serve. Help us to see the people around us that are in the body, that are outside the body, that have needs. Give us a desire and give us the tools so we can reach out and minister to them. In your son's name we pray. Amen.